Pius V, Blessed Albert of Sarziano, Confessor of First Order. Albert of the illustrious family of Bertini was born in Tuscany in 1384. At the age of 15, he was entrusted to the Franciscan Fathers that he might pursue his studies with them. Among his professors was the celebrated Bartholomew of Pisa, who died in 1401 at the age of 110 years. Favored by God with extraordinary talent, Albert soon distinguished himself among his fellow students. Withal, he remained so humble and devout that at the age of 20, he asked his professors for the habit of the order. After his ordination, he was permitted to continue his studies and soon became so proficient that he ranked among the most eminent scholars of Italy, especially in the knowledge of Latin and Greek. He was equally well educated in theology and was particularly interested in the science of the saints and virtue and perfection. In 1414, he met with St. Bernardine of Siena and became a wholehearted supporter of the latter's promotion of strict observance of the rule. His first and greatest care now was to make himself pleasing to God with the consent of his superiors, and despite his great learning and zeal for souls, he continued to live a holy seclusion for 7 more years, devoting his time to prayer, to practices of penance, and to religious study. During an entire year, he accompanied St. Bernardine on his missionary journeys, and only then did he take up the task of preaching. The times were turbulent when Albert entered upon his apostolic labors. The Turks were rapidly advancing toward the west. Italy was in constant dread of their arrival. Moreover, the Greeks had fallen away from the Church of Rome, were the cause of much worry of the Apostolic See. Within the bosom of the Church, anti-popes, who always found adherents, rose against the lawful representative of Christ. And there was a continual strife between the Guelphs and the Ghibertines. Between the Pope and the imperial factions, especially in northern Italy, so that city was armed against city, and frequently one group of citizens rose up against another group. Albert perceived that it would be necessary to undertake this work armed, so to say, with fire and sword in forceful terms. He denounced the vices of the times, and most eloquently did he portray the punishments of divine justice. It was as though the trumpets of the last judgment had sounded. Crowds gathered from all sides to hear him. No church was large enough to accommodate the concourse of people, which at times reached the number of 50,000 or 60,000. Conversions were numerous and not infrequently of a very remarkable nature. In Venice, a man came to him and told him about his evil life, saying that he would gladly be converted, but it seemed impossible to get rid of his vices. The missionary encouraged him and imposed upon him the simple injecture to assist daily at Holy Mass and to give alms. A few days later, the poor sinner returned, made a contrite confession, and began to lead a Christian life. When Pope Eugene IV learned of the influence which Albert exercised over the hearts of men, he sent him as his envoy to Greece and later to Egypt, Armenia, Ethiopia, and India, in all of which places he accomplished much good of the Church for the salvation of souls. Sometimes God confirmed his works by miracles. After successfully filling many offices in the order, Albert died on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15, 1415. St. John Capistrano saw his soul take flight into heaven. Although the title of blessed has been conferred on him in popular devotion, this cult has not yet been confirmed by the Holy See. Learn first, then teach. Consider how modest and humble it was on the part of Blessed Albert to spend so long a time in study before he began to teach. With his extraordinary talents and persevering diligence, he had already acquired great learning with St. Bernardine of Siena, received him among the Friars Minor. But he asked for another 7 years' leave to reflect upon what he had learned and to interpret in virtuous practice the knowledge he had gained. Even then, he preferred to spend another year listening to the sermons of his master before he himself became a teacher. 2. Consider how rarely this example which Christ and his servant Albert gave us is followed in our day. We want to teach before we have learned anything. We want to govern and command before we have learned to obey the commands of others. We want to judge and discuss things concerning what we know little or perhaps nothing at all. We want to be masters before we have stood the test of students. Hence it comes that there are such frequent sad results. Learn before you speak, Ecclesiasticus 18:19. 3. Consider that while it is proper that youth above all accept instruction, still there is much we can learn throughout life. It is an error prompted by pride if one regards it a disgrace to accept direction in age. St. Augustine says that while it is more becoming for age to teach than to be taught, on the other hand, it is more honorable to learn even in old age than to remain ignorant in things which we should know. Prayer of the Church. O God of hosts, to whom belongs all that is perfect, implant in our hearts the love of your name and grant us an increase of religion that you may forever foster within us what is good, and by the zeal of your loving kindness guard what you have fostered through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.